Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good afternoon. Good Saturday afternoon. Welcome to The Drift. Gary is off on assignment right now. That's my story. I'm sticking with it. And, of course, this is Ed Bondarenka, his co-host, sitting in. And today I have the lovely Linda Hughes sitting in with me, co-hosting.
Wow.
Yeah, welcome,
Two
Linda.
2 hours in a row. Can people take it?
There you go, yeah.
I don't know.
Now we'll just get you on Rick's next, and you just,
do the whole just slew. All me all, the, all day go. Long.
And then Ed Hoffman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd
we
be
just
great.
Can't go back in time and get you on Trigger Talk.
So,
Let's start off with paying some bills here first, because that's important. For one thing, I want you to know that the news you need to know is on The Drift, and I just stole Linda's line.
I was
going
to say, I've been waiting for
what I meant to say was,
to say the news you need to know.
There you go.
Is
well,
that great?
Let's try it again. Hi, welcome to The Drift radio show, and you need to go to thedailydrift.com for
the news you need to know.
There you go.
Am I a broadcaster or what?
There you go. You're better than me at this, that's for sure. Practice makes perfect.
So you guys have a system. None of the rest of us have systems. You guys are really prepared.
As Gary says, we're simpatico. So, you know, I'm starting to get hoarse now, and I hate that. I've been good all day, and I'm not getting hoarse. And one thing I really liked was watching Tucker Carlson last night get a frog in his throat.
Oh, did he? I missed
coughing.
His show last night. That's
he was
hilarious.
Coughing online. It was great.
Oh,
it was,
good.
Thank God.
It happens to everybody.
Me.
Yeah.
Yep. So, let's start out first. I want to talk to you about an advertiser in The Current. And The Current is also a place you need to go for the news you need to know, because I caught Linda drinking water.
I had a Marco Rubio minute. Sorry about that.
There you go.
Go to The Current for the news you need to know.
Thank you. So for your real estate needs, you need to talk to Marilyn Handloser Engstrom from REMAX. Marilyn's been advertising in The Current for a while, and she's pretty successful as a real estate agent. If you look her up in the I was told by a friend of mine who's actually my son, who's a real estate agent. He checked her out and saw her stats, and she's very successful.
Very good.
So you can contact Marilyn at 248-231-4216 or MarilynH at remax.net or www.marilynhandloser.com. That's MarilynHandloser. And contact Marilyn for your real estate needs. So, let's move on with the rest of the show.
I bet you didn't know I was a realtor.
Are you a realtor?
Not anymore.
Were you a realtor?
Shortest job ever.
Wait a minute.
I know.
We're getting ahead of
ourselves.
I
know. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
My son is also a realtor. My mom was a realtor.
Wow.
And my son, Caleb, he's a realtor in Plymouth. And he's hanging in there. He's doing pretty good. And pretty soon I'll be talking about him as one of the realtors you need to see when
Very
he advertises
great.
With The Current.
Very good.
So, let's see now. At 1:45, so you know, because I haven't told you this yet, we're going to have Bob Young come on.
What?
An update on his campaign.
What? I'm getting kicked off the air interview hour by Bob Young?
You're getting saved from having to extend your
Unbelievable.
Talking points.
Derek, are you hearing this? I've texted all my friends.
Derek, if Bob calls in, tell him we're busy.
All my 9 listeners. To check out this
You got
full,
nine listeners?
Yeah. Check out this full hour of an interview with me, your host, Linda Hughes. And I just find out I get kicked off by Bob Young, who I love, but unbelievable. Who's next? Lena Epstein? Is she going to take me off in the next 15 minutes?
Lena Epstein.
Unbelievable.
She's out of the race, right? Tell me
I don't
is.
Think she is. No, she's out of that race.
Yes. Oh,
she's running for the 11th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Which everybody's, I think I'm running for the 11th. You might be a write-in, but everybody's running for the 11th.
That's true.
I mean, there's literally like
That's true.
10 people running
yep.
for the 11th.
Yep.
No, I love Bob Young. If I have to be bounced off for any amount of time today, I will gladly give my last 15 minutes to Bob Young.
Okay. There you go. So, let's see now.
So, wait a minute. Are you saying that Gary's Kid Rock thing didn't work?
Gary's Kid Rock thing did not work. Thank God. And Kid Rock is yet to endorse a candidate.
Really?
Unlike Ted Nugent.
Yes.
Who has endorsed two candidates of interest to us. One, it's a sad thing he did what he did Colbeck, right? I mean, sorry, he did.
I don't think he has.
Schutte.
No, I don't think that's.
Oh, really?
No, no.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. I thought I heard that yesterday that he had endorsed.
That's brand new news to me if he has.
I thought I heard it on Cameron's show.
Oh, well, maybe it is.
Maybe was not. I hope not, really.
No, who endorsed Schutte is Congressman Paul Mitchell. We were very upset about that.
No,
but
that
he's part of the, you know, he's, that's to be expected. But that doesn't, it's not going to matter.
Swamp creature?
What's that?
Are you going to say swamp creature?
Well, I don't think he is. I think Paul Mitchell's a good guy. But, you know, they're all being told the same thing. Oh, Schutte's a win. We got to back him. He'll do all of our stuff.
Yeah, well.
But
Trump backed Luther Strange.
Exactly. They don't
he's
always.
Backing Schutte.
Right. Well, I wouldn't say he's backing him.
Okay.
He just sent out a tweet saying, and I think he mispronounced his name, which I loved, and misspelled it in his tweet.
He misspelled it in his tweet.
Yeah. And just said, like, Bill will help me get to jobs in Michigan. That's not an endorsement.
It's not a ringing endorsement.
That's like somebody in my team told me, you know, say something nice about Schutte. Okay. And that's all he could come up with. I don't call that an endorsement.
As pertains to your last show last week. Where you were talking about Bannon. Maybe Bannon will get the word to Trump, and Trump will come on board.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So, having said that, I asked the lovely Linda to come in today so I might actually interview her, as you heard previously on her show, because I'm sure you listen to her show also. And so, I have a point to where I'm going with the interview, but I want to bring you up to that point first by getting some simple biological. Yes, she's female.
I might be A positive. I don't know.
some biographical details on Linda.
This sounds so interesting, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
So, Linda.
Yes.
What was it like as a child growing up in the 90s?
Oh, bless your heart. That's hilarious. I was born in 1963.
We weren't going to go
there. Yes, I wouldn't go there. I'm 54 years old. I will be 54 on December 16th.
Excellent. Yes. December 16th. I'll have to remember that day.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Okay. And that's all gifts may go to Linda at
that's
WHAM.
Right.
Text your gifts to
Linda at WHAM Radio.
Yeah. Email them also. Yep. Works better that
54
way.
54 years old.
All right. So, having said that, what kind of education did you have growing up?
Didn't you hear the last show?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh. I was prepping for my show.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, we just talked about how bad education was in those years. Theron loves to say that. And it's true. You didn't learn anything. History.
Okay.
You know, that's why I love history now, because I had none of it other than the memorization. I was a good student. You memorized dates.
So I take it you went to a public school, obviously.
Saline.
Yeah, okay.
Which has a great reputation.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, you know, you learn stuff. It was a great, I would say that's not of the public school problem that we have today. I would happily send a kid to Saline Public Schools. But,
yeah, I was happy to send my kids to wherever the heck they went.
This is going swimmingly, isn't it?
Van Buren School District. I sent them there to Rawsonville School.
Yeah,
it was local.
Yeah.
And I knew the teachers. And I knew, you know, no stupid stuff was going on at that time.
Yeah.
So I was comfortable not to send them to private school. But these days, it'd have to be private school.
My education came mainly from work. I worked a lot. I always wanted to work. I worked as a kid. Babysat all, you know, my sisters and I all did a lot of babysitting. Always had that entrepreneurial, let's start. I mean, I remember with my cousins even one, let's start a business. You know, we'd be on Thanksgiving break or Christmas break. Let's start a business. They thought I was nuts. I remember at one point, I don't know if we tried to sell this or what we were doing, but we were putting egg salad in jars. I have no idea what we did with it, but I was always thinking like, how can we get some money so we can do some stuff? It was always about independence. It wasn't about money as much as it was, you know, we need to be.
I was thinking of the Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney. Hey, let's put on a show. But no, it's you. Hey, let's start a company.
Let's do some kind of business here.
Let's do business.
Yeah.
My son was actually like that, too. It was like anything for a buck, whatever he could do to get something.
Babysitting. You know, kids, you can't find kids. My parents are back in Saline, and you can't find kids to do anything. You know, you need some help raking leaves,
that's
yard
right.
work. It's like,
mow
what?
My grass? No, I'm busy playing. No, my dad gives me money. What do I need yours for?
Right.
Yep,
it's really
bad
sad.
Like that. I hear that a lot.
You can't find any help younger kids to do anything.
Yep. Now, my neighbor kid across the street, he's pretty good, but he's 30 years old.
Oh, I know.
But,
I know.
You know, he's helpful.
Yep.
So,
kids don't learn the value of
of
money and working and all that. They really don't.
So then they get to McDonald's when they have to do something and they have no work ethic and they get let go there, or you get crummy sandwiches for a while and they're trying to figure it out.
Yep. So as many people, McDonald's was my first job. First real job, is other than, you know, the babysitting and stuff like that. That's was my first, where you had a paycheck and I learned about FICA and who are these people that take all my money out of, who are these people? Where's all my money going?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Why don't I have, I'm making this.
Wait a minute. Exactly.
I'm supposed to be getting this
I'm
much
counting.
Money.
I'm
Wait
good at
minute.
Math. This Why is not I? The amount of money I'm supposed to be receiving. Mm-hmm. Who are these people and where's my money going?
Like when I was job hunting earlier this year, you know, I was like, oh, okay, that's a nice salary. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute, after taxes. Hey, wait a minute, does that put me in the wrong bracket? Can you give me $5,000 less?
Right. But my goal in my earlier years was always I wanted to be a psychologist.
And?
I always wanted to, you know, and I had a very good, I had a very good psychology professor who said, this is, you got to get out of this. I thought, what? What are you talking about? I'm a student in this class. This is, it's like, you will end up taking all of your patients home to live with you. And he was right.
Yeah,
he was right.
That. Yep.
He was right. Looking back, it was not the right career path for me.
You
but I was
be
very,
distant enough,
I was kind
I
of insulted. But so that was the end of my.
Well, you were overqualified for helping people.
Well, his point was I would not be able to separate myself from, and it was probably good advice on his part.
So, besides McDonald's, what was your next real job?
I managed the Clark Station in Saline. And actually, I had those two jobs at the same time. I would get up at 5 o'clock, go down to the Clark Station. I don't know if you know where that was, but now that's all vacant land. I would take a giant wooden stick in the back of the building, and I would measure the gas
tanks.
Oh, the
depth of the gas tanks, yes. Did that as kids.
Now, these days, your parents wouldn't let you do that because you would be robbed and all kinds of things. I was close to home, but... And at that point, I might have had an apartment, because I had an apartment early, too. I always had that.
Did you siphon gas for your cars?
Of course not.
Oh.
I didn't become a rebel till my 20s. So, yeah, this was like 16,
17.
That's
what my brother's dead at the gas station.
16, 17 years old. No, I was not into that kind of behavior at that point. But it was a hard job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can picture a 16-year-old Linda measuring gas.
And you were managing it.
I didn't care. I wouldn't say I was a manager. Let me rephrase that. I was probably the assistant. Was I even the assistant? I don't know.
Okay.
And I had some crazy people that I worked for that I won't get into that.
Were you ever threatened? No.
Oh,
that's good.
No. In those days, you just didn't even...
Didn't even think about it. Yep.
You know, probably the...
So after that?
Early 80s. Well, after that, I had a home and office cleaning business that I... Started with my mom and my sister, and we did that for 20 years.
You met some friends of ours in that.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, I think you met Marcia there.
Who I hope is home making stuffing. I heard about the stuffing for tomorrow, so I said, take off a little spoonful and save me some of that.
You should stop by.
Yeah.
So
so that was a good 20 years of my life, which was good and bad. Physically bad, hard on the body, but good for... The entrepreneurial spirit.
Exactly.
Met a lot of great people.
Did you, I'm going to say, you learned a lot about how business works then, obviously. About
in the end of it, in the beginning part, it was just all labor.
Okay.
And then you think, oh, this would be a great business. Then you realize as a business owner, you know, you hire people to do that and they don't do the work you do. You have a day where people don't show up. So you're out... You know, doing the work that you hired the people to do, realizing now you're making less than you were making when you were just doing it yourself. So it took me about 20 years to put that together that this is not good.
A guy I know, a former friend of mine, I won't say former friend, but I haven't seen him in a while. I used to go to church with him. And he went to Eastern. He was taking a business degree. And he was doing lawn care, working lawn care during the summers as a job to get through college. And at the end of college, he opens up a lawn care company. And he's doing landscaping and lawn care.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, wow, you paid a lot of money in tuition to learn how to do lawn care.
Yeah.
But of course, he had a business degree, so he knew what to expect after that, too.
And I have a lot of respect for people who start their own businesses, because it's not easy.
No, it isn't.
I mean, we wake up half the days here and think, what were we thinking, buying a radio station?
Well, we're going to get to that point. What were you thinking buying a radio
I don't know.
Station?
Is Bob Young in the hallway?
Well, I'm thinking, what was I doing buying a newspaper?
That's right. You're an entrepreneur. Yeah. You've got that same entrepreneurial spirit.
All
That's
right.
A
so,
tough word to say.
So you were doing the doing the cleaning service, and then where'd you end up next after that?
That is when I became a realtor. And sadly, I became a realtor shortly after 9/11. Yeah. I pick the times, don't I? Yes. So all of the people in my office, I worked for Edward Servo, said, it's not usually like this. I mean, it was 2 years of nothing. The big agents weren't doing, I mean, it was just the bottom. Well, you know, we were around in that time. It was, you know, I sold one house to someone that I babysat for. Well, I still had my, the end of the, you know, wasn't stupid. I still had the end of my cleaning business, but, and it was fun. I learned a lot. I was glad that I did it. It was a big challenge to do. It's not an easy thing to do, as you know, from probably your son. But just the timing was horrible. And the honesty thing became an issue with me because, in real estate, they encourage you to, and there's nothing wrong with it. I won't say this is dishonest, but they want you to help people see the promise of every single house.
Yeah.
Well, some houses, you laugh, some houses don't have any promise. So I would show somebody as many houses as they want to see. And it became the thing where it's like, you know, let's show people like three houses. Well, what if those three houses stink? And they want to see a fourth house or a fifth house. If I pictured myself, if I'm the one buying this house,
showing them stinky houses.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want these people to be. I'm gonna have to see these people again. I want to feel good about at the end of the day they don't have some kind of crazy drainage problem in their basement, and they. I want them to love the house that they. So that doesn't always work well with.
So what'd you do after
owners.
That?
Hello.
Oh.
That's
you
when I joined
a radio station.
Oh no, no, heavens, no. That was 2002, 2003 when I met the fabulous Theron and began working with him in radio.
Excellent.
Never thinking that we would own a station together.
So
later
you were working
on.
Here at the station when you met him.
I actually was helping him with his show on WEMU.
Oh, I remember.
He was on
those
for
days.
20 years.
Yep.
As a volunteer, mainly at that, you know, the fundraising and all that. And then when he was fired from that station for being a conservative, we've gone over that many times, and moved over to commercial radio, that's when I came into play. So we moved into commercial radio and got into the advertising business side of his show at that point. And
so you followed his career when he came here originally?
I was here first.
Before you bought the
station. No, I came,
well, that's what I was
actually
wondering.
Came here first.
So you were here first.
We were both over at Cool 107 together from WEMU. He was, and then I helped him at Cool 107 with the advertising and marketing and stuff for the show. And then in radio, every 6 months at least, everybody's fired.
Okay.
And sometimes the format changes. So that happened over at Cool 107, and everybody came here. And that's when the new manager here called and said, you guys have to come here too. And at that point, he was doing the music show. So we said, what are we going to do with, you know, we do a music show. We can't. He said, so what? Do it here. Sunday night, so we did.
Excellent.
And when we got here, I said, you know, why don't you do a talk show? And his words were, he doesn't remember this, but it's true. He said, what would I talk about? I said, when are you not talking? And that's why people love the music show so much, because it's not just the music. It's him talking about the songs and the artists, which he knows so well.
Oh, Sherry and I listened to Bone Conduction on EMU for the longest time, and then he was off
great.
The air. I didn't know where
Nobody
he went.
Nobody knew where it was because they never tell you.
And my friend
you.
James Bell told me one day, he says, hey, you know, I listened to Theron on Wham Radio. I says, wait, whoa, he's broadcasting again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
he's been on the air for 34 years continuously except for 2 weeks. Isn't
that
amazing?
Takes a vacation.
No, that was when he got fired.
I know.
But yeah. But that's pretty strong broadcasting career.
All right. Yeah. And then you guys were here for a while.
We were here for a while. I came over first. They wanted a morning show co-host with the guy who was doing the morning show then. They just wanted a female voice on the air. And so I did traffic and weather with him. And Dan Martin was here at that time, too. So Dan has good memories of those early days. As you know, I'm not a morning person. So to be over here at 5 o'clock in the morning and talk about the weather and the traffic And then the weather guy was, of course, furious because he thought, who is this person coming in? Are you going to take my job? So I got schooled in partly cloudy and partly sunny, the difference literally by being taken outside by the elbow by this punk who my co-host then took and threw him up against the wall and said, don't ever touch her. He was kind of the weather guy, then was news guy. He was good, a great news guy, but he was crazy. But yeah.
Great.
So that was our start here at Wham.
Okay.
And then about a year after that is when Theron came over and started doing the talk show.
And then the station came up for sale and you guys said
years later. We were here for a few years and let's see, that was, I don't have all my date stuff together, but basically let's just say that things were not being well managed here. And when we brought that to the attention of the owner, who was in Dallas at the time, his remedy to that was for me to be the manager.
Okay.
Which I knew nothing about managing a radio station. I knew about having your own business, but I didn't know anything about managing the radio station. And Theron's, because of the things we'd seen in radio, said, well, you don't drink and you don't steal. And those were pretty much my qualifications. And it's true. I mean, if you are an honest person and you try to do the right thing.
So did you watch episodes of reruns of WKRP just to see
I had those in my brain already. No, I knew what not to do. But that was, the whole first year was just learning. I would Google stuff. Google was out then. And I would go online and try to, you know, someone would call and say, we don't have your BMI report for this month. I didn't know what that was. So I would say, oh, I'm sorry, you'll have it by the end of the day.
Learning experience.
As soon as I find out what it is, I would hang up and go find out what it was. And that's how it went the first year. But Theron has a business background too, much more so than I do with the accounting and everything. So it was a good team.
I had a
good
friend,
partnership.
I had a friend years ago who was a pastor, and he got an accounting degree. And I said, well, why'd you get an accounting degree? He said, well, Jesus said, you know, learn to count the cost. And I found out many people don't know how to do that, and they
that's
need help.
That's great.
Yeah.
They do. That's great. Yeah. So that's it. That's how we ended up at Wham.
So you got here, and
And then it was after I managed it for a couple years that he came in, the owner came back, and he said, I have good news and bad news. He said, the good news is ratings are up, revenue's up, you're doing a great job. The bad news is now I can put it on the market.
You
and
guys
we thought
worked
we
your
successed
way out
ourselves
of a job.
Into another, yeah.
Sorry, I stepped on your
yeah,
line.
Yeah, and exactly, we did. So I went to him, I think shortly after that, and said, you know, we'd like to buy the station, which he gave me that look like, oh.
Isn't that sweet?
That's sweet. Because he knew what we were making because we worked for him. Kind of gave me the pat on the shoulder and said, that is so, that's just great. What, you know, what's your plan for that? So I don't know, but if you give me enough time, we'll come up with a plan. So he was patient, and we went out and went about finding people who believed in us and would help with the financing. And it took us about 12 months. Went through a lot of people. You know, all the people who are your friends who say, oh, you guys are doing great with Wham. Keep it up. All the big conservative billionaires out there in Ann Arbor land, with which there are a lot. Nope. Not a dime. But it was the regular folks, the nice little folks that said, you know, I can give you 10 grand.
You had your own GoFundMe going on.
Exactly, before the GoFundMe was popular. So we did.
Networking.
Yeah. And that was almost 7 years ago.
And if you had a mission statement here, what would be your mission statement?
Save America.
That's,
I know that's
two
you didn't
words.
Think I'd have it that fast, but that's literally what we thought in the beginning. It's like we have to keep this station a conservative voice.
That's right.
Because it wasn't at the time. They had half liberal, crazy liberal shows, half conservative,
just like
hedge
Fox
their
News.
Bets. Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. And we thought if we don't do this to take this station, it will be completely 100% crazy liberal within a couple months. And it would have been. Yeah. We thought we've got to keep this voice going. We've got to keep the truth. You know, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way, and Theron's voice, all of our voices on Wham, but his in particular, it's too important. I mean, this is a place where you can hear the truth.
Yep.
For better,
right.
For worse. So, and of course, always spreading the truth about God as well. So saving the country, getting the message out there about truth and
it really is
about
a mission
God.
Statement.
It really is
it?
A mission statement.
And I want to get into that after the hour, after the half hour news. When we come back, I want to continue that thought of, do I hear the music?
I think I do.
I don't.
Oh, wow. It's on there.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Faron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. Whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. Both state and local police departments in western Pennsylvania, along with the FBI, have joined in the hunt for a cop killer. Officer Brian Shaw, the new Kensington PD, was gunned down Friday night following a traffic stop. A spokesman says there'll be time for mourning later.
There's a task at hand right now, and that task is finding the person that killed their fellow officer. And they are committed to that task, they're focused on that task, and I think that when that task is finally over, they'll be able to step aside and go through the grieving process themselves.
State Trooper Steve Lamani. Malcolm Young, one of the founding members of AC/DC, has died. The rhythm guitarist had been suffering from dementia for the past several years. He and the band were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2003. Malcolm Young was 64. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing resort-like care facilities you've ever seen. Their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. And in their pursuit of excellence, WellBridge asks each guest to complete a customer satisfaction survey after their stay. To date, they've earned a satisfaction rate of 100%. Here are some of the comments received. This is my home away from home. This place is outstanding and everyone is super kind. I am beyond pleased with all the care I received. The staff is so passionate for what they do and it shows. This was my mother's third stay here and she always loves it. I've referred this place to many already. My stay has been fantastic. For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team. Learn more at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
Hey, and welcome back to The Drift. It's Saturday afternoon, and you are listening to The Drift. And if you want to stay informed, you should be going to Drift Online.
For the news you need to know.
We'll get it down eventually.
For the news you need to know.
That's good.
Does that sound serious?
Yes, okay. That sounds serious. Yes. So, so far, Gary hasn't called in to correct me or tell me how poorly I'm doing at this shape.
Or me too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're back, and I've got the lovely Linda Hughes in here. We've been interviewing her. I'm sure you've been listening in
riveting
attention.
Riveting. You can't turn this off. This is so interesting.
Yes, it is. Yes, I like it. I'm learning a lot.
I bet.
And you're getting the inside feel of how the station came about. For those of you who didn't know, you know how Linda and Theron came in possession of it, what their mission statement is. And before we continue, I want to encourage you to visit Dr. Travis Sterner if you're looking for a family dentist. Dr. Sterner is on Barker Road in Whitmore Lake, and you can find more about them at sternerfamilydental.com, enhancing your health and your smile through the science and art of dentistry. So if you're looking for a dentist, please think of Dr. Sterner in Whitmore Lake. He's an advertiser in the Current, and I appreciate that. So, continuing on with Linda. So now you own a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Your mission is this chair
for creaking? Better or for worse? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Your mission statement is
Save America.
Save America.
Save America.
That's
without
right.
The A, yeah.
And along with that mission statement, incorporated in that mission statement, is an emphasis on your Christian service.
Right.
Okay.
I like to tell people we're not a Christian station per se. And that we get all the tax breaks. But just about everybody here is a pretty deep Christian. Not everybody, but most people are. It's a nice environment to work in.
A couple of years ago, I called into your show when you had Drake on as your co-host mm-hmm. frequently. And I remarked that your show was a piece of Americana. And that Americana...
I remember that call.
Yeah, and Americana has the culture of America... And part of the culture of America is its religious heritage.
Right.
And so I like to think that we like to promote that culture in America, one that's conservative in politics, although it also has its liberal. Let's not forget there were liberals, of course, in American right. history. But they're not who we want to emulate. And we have a caller, but I don't know who it is yet, so we'll just wait right. on that. And so... part of that is our Christian heritage and the promotion of that Christian heritage, because we know historically the founding fathers based this country on their Christian heritage. And
right.
So consequently, I believe that there are attacks on those and of a spiritual nature on those who have a Christian outlook and a prominent voice in the community. And I think you and Theron...
I'll second
that.
Bill. Yeah, I'll second that theory.
Okay.
Yeah, I
mean,
believe so.
Some of it you see forthright, right?
Right.
And some of it you don't see forthright, but you see it secondhand.
Right.
Now, we're about to take a very important caller.
Uh-oh.
All right, it's the boss.
I am the boss. You're looking at the boss, so
it's the boss's other.
The boss's
minion.
I love that. And I love, too, when we put notes up around here, everybody says, this note's from Theron, as if a note from me can't be taken seriously in this building.
Okay, well, let's see what he has to say.
Let's see what he's got to say.
Hey, Theron.
Hey, I just wanted to point out that, and don't you dare go into my office. People will get shot if they go in there. But on the big, huge board on the wall, the mission statement clearly says, it says, mission statement. It has a huge dollar sign with an arrow pointing toward get some exclamation point. So that's where Lynn and I part company in mission statements, but we both have the same basic mission statement.
Okay, well, that's good. Any replies?
That's funny.
That's all I got.
All right, brother. Thanks for calling
great
in, Theron.
And Linda, thank you. Thank you for everything you do at WHAM. You are truly, truly a warrior princess.
I learned from the best.
Love you madly. See you, bye.
Love you,
get
too.
A room.
Love you, too. Hey, I gotta tell a little backstory of that, because that's pretty funny. There's a giant chalkboard in Theron's office, which used to be the sales manager's office. And, of course, as you know, in any kind of business, you have, like, three-hour sales meetings and intricate plans for, you know. So there was literally on this chalkboard just billions and billions of little phrases of how we're going to do it. So when we bought the station, the first thing I did was we erased that, all of the plans for success, and Theron drew a big dollar sign with an arrow pointing to it and said, get some. That's our sale. Because that was the sales office. That was like, here's our sales plan.
Yep.
Sell.
Have you ever read the book,
Sell.
The Goal?
No.
Oh, it's a business book. It's really good. And basically this guy goes through, it's almost like a novel, but mm-hmm. it's a business book. And this guy, he's thrown into the role of being a plant manager. And then he was the maintenance manager, so I feel for him because I've done both. And
And
they say, okay, the good news is you're the plant manager. The bad news is things don't pick up in 6 months. We're closing the plant. And so he goes through this thing where he's learning, and he meets this guy who is his college professor in economics at an airport. And he's talking to him, tells him what's going. The guy said, well, you got to know what the goal is. He said, what is the goal? Oh, you work it out. So he gives his counseling, you know, it's almost like his guru, you know. And basically the goal is to make money.
Right.
That's the goal. You've got to make
money.
That's
every business's goal.
Yeah, everything
else. But you
else
have to do it in a respectful.
How you do it is.
Right, exactly.
Yes, how you do it's important. But if you don't hit that goal, you're not going to be doing the other stuff.
And both sides of that are important. You have to have a mission statement. What underlying, what do you want to do? But if you're not successful monetarily, you have nothing to do your goal with. So you can have all the missions you want.
Advertisers.
Right.
You can't have content without advertisers.
Exactly. And people, I think our listeners know how important our advertisers are.
Yep.
I mean, the fact that I walk into Muriel's Dollhouse and they both, you know, just instantly start talking about their own, and then they're both now patients of Dr. Singleton. It was hilarious. I mean, people get that they have to support our people.
Right. Well, I want to move on to this topic of basically attacks both spiritual and the other word is temporal of this earth on you and Theron. And you announced a couple weeks ago to our audience that you had a recurrence of cancer in your life.
Yep.
And I actually think that that's part of a spiritual attack on your mission and work here.
Oh, and I agree.
I would like to encourage all our listeners and any people who aren't our listeners, that they hold you in prayer. And perhaps you'd like to give an update on your treatment. Would that be all right?
Yeah, that'd be fine. I think I mentioned before that this is my second time around. The first time was about a month after Theron and I got married back in 2005. Breast cancer for the first time. 12 years later, a recurrence. Things are going very well. I'm on a new kind of experimental drug.
Is there a name for that drug?
TDM1.
Okay.
TDM1 is specifically for my type of breast cancer. But I hate to say, this sounds kind of weird, but if you're going to have cancer in your lifetime, now's a really good time because literally every day, more than once a day, there's something coming out that they are so on the verge of getting to the bottom of a lot of this stuff, and that they can go in now and turn off certain genes. They can totally map your your genomic pattern. Something new this week out of Sloan Kettering where they 42 different types of, and I can't even you can't even keep it all straight. The information's coming so fast. So I'm very encouraged about all that, but I felt early on in this that God, through different things we don't have time to get into, but was telling me, this is not my time. If it's my time, I'm ready, but has more work for me to do here. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be by, because one of the biggest things when you get an illness like this, you feel like it's all on you to find the cure. You got to find the right doctor, the right, and to some extent that's true. You got to be your own advocate, your own researcher, but the healing's going to come from God. And it's not like he says, I was going to heal you, Linda, but you didn't find this blah, blah, blah over here, and you didn't do this supplement, you didn't do this, so.
I gave you
sorry.
Clues.
Sorry, right. So you have
too bad.
To, exactly. So you have to realize that your healing is going to come from the Lord, but he gave us doctors. He gave us the medicine. He gave us his creation, which is full of the food and the supplements and the things that we need to fight off the cancer, because most people's bodies, their immune system's strong enough to fight it. So you have to find out why yours isn't. So that's basically it is just realizing not to panic over finding the exact thing that you need, that God is directing this. And there's a 3-hour story in that, but God is definitely in charge of me, my illness, my life, the mission here at WAM, everything that we have been doing. He's led us through every piece of it wonderfully.
Well, part of the encouragement I wanted to give you was, for instance, last Sunday at our church, we had a speaker come in from Saline.
Mm-hmm. And her name was my hometown.
Yeah, there you go, Beth Madison. And she gave her testimony of the healing that she got, the delivery that she got from cancer, 100%. What do you call it in level four?
Stage four.
Stage four, yes.
Great.
And my pastor's father, he had stage four, I believe was kidney cancer, and he was delivered miraculously. Yeah. Now, granted, he had help from the doctors, but the doctors were surprised too.
Oh, they always are, yeah.
I heard somebody telling a story not too long ago, and she said that when she first became a doctor, they had a patient come in, and they gave him chemotherapy, and it didn't heal him, and they sent him home. 2 years later, he came back cancer-free, and they couldn't explain it.
Yeah.
And so they all said, oh, the chemo must have kicked in after all time.
Right.
And she says, I can't believe this 30 years later. She says, I can't believe how we could blind ourselves to that when it's clear it was an answer to prayer and we didn't want to listen to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so once again, I want to encourage all our listeners. I think it's very important that we hold Linda before the Lord and Theron and the fate of this station and consequently, the fate of the nation, because their mission
I
is
love
to
that.
Save
Do
America.
Not bring this country to an end. Support Linda and Theron and Wham Radio.
There you go.
That's great. And I will say this. I know we've got to take off here, but if Theron's line, and he uses it all the time, which I love, none of us are getting out of here alive.
That's right.
So the bottom line is, it may not be my time to go yet, but one day it will be. And it might not be your time to go yet, but one day it will be. So make sure that you've got your relationship with the Lord intact, because the good news is God wins in the end.
That's
we know the end of the story. We've all read the book.
Yep.
And so it's a
for
good ending.
For those who are prepared.
Right. What's it's that? A good ending for all of us if we know what the story is. So, you know, just make sure that you're ready.
When I go, I want to go peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, not like the occupants of his car.
Yeah. Another Theron joke. That's great.
All righty then. So now we want to move on. We've asked Bob Young to call in. Oh, we have Colin, we appreciate your call with well wishes for Linda.
Thank you, Colin.
We can't take that right now. We've got Bob Young calling in with an update on his
campaign.
See,
you got bumped too, Colin. How does it feel? We're all for you, though, Bob.
Let's bring Bob on. Bob, I got the right line? Maybe not. Okay, let's try. Well, that was supposed to be line one, Bob Young. Did I hang up? Oh, I hit the wrong button. Let's talk to Colin.
Did you hang up on the great Bob Young?
My goodness. Hi, Colin. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Linda, you and I have met a couple of times. I'm an old friend of Theron's. We go back for many years, decades, actually. And I was just moved to hear that your cancer recurred, and I'm just so sorry about that. I just wanted to call and wish you well, and so you are in my thoughts and prayers.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Colin, and hopefully you listen in occasionally and you can hear some updates. And
okay, Colin,
I think we're
nice
moving in a
you.
Good direction. But thanks so much. I really do appreciate that. And I'll tell Theron you said hi.
Oh, thank you so much. All right.
All right, great.
Thanks.
Now let's see if I can press the right button and get Bob Young on the line.
Good afternoon.
There we
How
go,
are you?
Bob. I guess that was the hang-up button.
Welcome to the Linda Show, Bob.
Okay, good morning. Hi, good afternoon. Thank you.
So, Bob, good to have you back, and our callers will remember, I'm sure our callers will remember the interviews that we did with you, the two previous interviews we did with you with the biographics. Of course, to update you, Bob is the former Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court. Excellent conservative, constitutionalist. He's campaigning for the seat currently occupied by the Democratic infidel. Carry on, Bob.
And Bob has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, I should carry you with me on the campaign trail. You do a better job than I do. Yes, well, good afternoon, and thank you for having me back on the show. I'm happy always to visit with you.
Good.
It's been a great week. We had an endorsement from Ted Nugent, and Debbie Stabenow got cat scratch fever attacked me and tried to use that endorsement as a way of getting fundraising.
Well, I can see how that might work for her.
Well, you know, the infidels, those of us who are in the basket of deplorables, are worthy of being feared by Debbie Stabenow.
Okay.
And so, So we're having a. I'm just enjoying going out and talking with folks about what's been happening in our country, why people like Debbie Stabenow need to be sent home and stop annoying us.
I like that.
That's good, yeah.
Got
That's
my
a
vote.
Good campaign
yeah.
slogan. Stop annoying us,
Debbie yeah. Stabenow. That's
Go
great.
Go away. Stop annoying us.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard you on Pastor Ewell's show this morning, and you did good there, too. So what else do you know? What else is going on?
Well, a lot of it is just trying to get the message out. I am one of those strange people that has run something larger than my mouth in government, and it's an important thing because we see in Washington this horrible swamp development. One of my favorite. And I think I mentioned on the show this morning, is the observation by a French philosopher who came to our country in the early stages of it.
De Tocqueville?
Yeah, De Tocqueville, yeah. And he has such a wonderful insight. He said, the republic will survive until the Congress realizes it can bribe its taxpayers with their own money. And that is really what we're seeing. That's why we have this enormous growth in the welfare state, because people like Debbie Stabenow, who was a high practitioner of bribery with our tax dollars, has made us all complicit in this. It's we all have a little piece of the welfare state. And we need to do difficult things now, because what's happened is we are now spending so far beyond our means that we are borrowing every year the equivalent of our discretionary budget from none other than China. Now, that's really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we
and
need
our grandchildren.
To stop that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everyone is harmed by a government that has grown well beyond its constitutional authority. And the one thing we see very, very clearly is that growing government does not make competent government. And the federal government is so far beyond its constitutional authority that we need to do the hard things. We need to stop spending as much money as we're spending. We need to stop doing all of those horrible things. For example, this is a show devoted to people of religious faith. We have driven from the public square any religious expression on a false theory that of separation of church and state. There's nothing in our Constitution that calls for a separation of church and state. What it says is that in the First Amendment that Congress shall establish no religion. At the time of the founding, about 7, as I recall, of the 13 colonies had official church-state religions. And what the founders wanted to ensure is that the federal government that they created,
exactly.
the limited government, did not create a national church. It also says that the Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or, significantly, this is the clause that's never recalled, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Of religion.
Bob, yeah. You're talking like a real revolutionary here. I mean,
no, I'm talking like somebody who knows what the Constitution says.
Well, those are the
right.
revolutionaries, yeah.
Oh, I hadn't realized that that recognizing what the Constitution says is a revolution. Well,
it is these days.
Right. You're
today
right.
It is, yeah.
I'm sorry, what am I thinking? Yes, of course,
I'm
it's
sorry.
Revolutionary. These days, to think of the Constitution as having an independent meaning.
Hey,
that we are obligated as citizens to respect. And unfortunately our elected leaders, and including those who wear black robes, have become allergic to these notions.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, I'd like to take a quick call from Joe Lennard in from Joe from Wyandotte. Sorry, no last names.
Okay.
And Joe, make it quick, okay? You there? Thought I pressed the right button. Derek? Okay, Joe's gone. All right. You there, Bob?
Okay.
Well, one thing that Joe and I have talked about actually is your campaign. And Joe's question had to do with Debbie Stabenow. I don't know what it was, but that was in the notes. But something Joe and I have been hoping to see more from your campaign, and I hope you don't take this wrong. We'd like to see it a little more prominent. We'd like to, particularly Facebook. I see you on Twitter.
Actually, I do have a fair bit of Facebook activity. Every couple of days or so, I have something that I post on topical issues that.
Okay, well, I follow your page, and it doesn't end up in. Maybe it's on my end. It doesn't seem to end up in my notifications. So that could be me. But
that's something I will talk to the folks. You know, I'm 66. Technology is a mystery to me, but we are trying to reach out and touch people with our electronic.
And we want you to. We're for you.
And we're working on that. Part of us. I'm. You know, this isn't my first rodeo. I have run statewide 3 times. And that alone distinguishes me from all of the people, other people who are declared candidates in the Republican primary. And so I am doing what I've done in the 3 prior campaigns that I was in as a candidate for the Supreme Court. I'm running a grassroots campaign. I'm actively out every day talking to folks and meeting them. We're having a really wonderful response to our campaign out in the field, and it is gratifying to see people like you who are looking for a proven conservative.
We want an alternative.
Who is prepared to do the hard thing.
Exactly. We want an alternative to the Democratic, Stabenow, Peters, basically the crowd that's basically, like you said, running us into the ground.
And you're the right guy for the job.
Well, I appreciate that. I you know, this isn't when I was retiring from the court, this wasn't my retirement project, actually.
Okay.
But it's the kind of thing, it's my last act of public service.
That's great, Bob. And now the music's playing, and we've got to go. My apologies to Tom and Joe, who are both calling in, and we didn't have time for their calls. But, Bob, we're happy to have you on. And to the rest of our listeners, I encourage you to go to the Daily Drift for...
The news you need to know.
There you go.
And BobYoungForMichigan.com or Excellent. Bob Young for Senate, Facebook.
Thanks, Bob.
Excellent. Have a great
You're gonna
day.
You're going to win. I
Thank
feel
you.
It.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bless you.
Yep.
Bye. Thank you. Same to you.
Thanks.